To support this podcast, go to PositiveSarcasm.com/donate. Any amount is appreciated. Once again, PositiveSarcasm.com/donate. Thank you and enjoy the program. JR, PositiveSarcasm.com, recorded here from the Spare Parts Studio alongside New Hampshire's beautiful seacoast. Like, subscribe, share, donate. PositiveSarcasm.com/donate. Any amount's appreciated. For entertainment purposes only, of course, because I'm not certified in anything. But that's okay. Anyways, moving on. If you want to email me, you can email me directly through my website. Contact section is there for a reason. Use it. If you're a client, it's probably best you do it that way. If I tell you, if you shoot me a text saying, hey, I want this, this, and this, cool. Give me all your information in email. That way it's in more detail. That way I can follow through with the request a lot easier. All right? If you want to get my attention via text or slide into my DMs on Instagram, you can do that too, @positive_sarcasm. But of course, for all the information in its context, shoot me an email, positivesarcasm@outlook.com, or do it through my website, positivesarcasm.com, via the contact section, and then we can move forward. Just makes it easier that way. Don't shoot me a text saying, hey, I need this, this, and this by Friday, and here's the amount of money. It's like, great. Talk further. Anyways, so if you want to contact me, Instagram, email, my website, cool. All right? Awesome. Sorry, I just came back from Vermont after a little bit of a week, a little bit of an extra weekend for me. I was going to get started here earlier, but I'm like, nah, I'm going to take a nap. So I'm just like sitting here with my headphones on, listening to some deep music, like some background music. I'm just like, it's good to do that. Just kind of clear your head a little bit. You know, you don't feel energized until you hit record, but you don't need to. You kind of, you have to ramp up. I can't. You can't just sit down and do this. At least I can. I'm not that. But you like warm up to it. Just hit start. Just hit start. Start your car up. Let it run for a minute or two. Let yourself sink in. Let your RPMs idle to the point where your heartbeat and your head are on the same rhythm. And then maybe start talking about what you're going through. How you feeling? And then see where it takes you. Like last week was so weird because there was a bunch of wars going on. And you're just like, what's going to happen? Where am I going to be? How much value do you have? How much value do you have when the lights go out, when the electricity goes off, when you have to learn how to farm again? Are we really going to need customer service reps in the middle of an apocalypse? Please stand by. Your call is important to us. Bitch, there's no more telephone lines. We nuked them all. So I don't know. I had that thought. I was like, let me just explore something like Phil Collins when he did that freaking song there. I can hear it calling in the air. Boom. And it's like, that's what I was thinking. Let me just open up the mental keyboard here and see what kind of do, 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 do. Oh, Lord. You know, let's see what's going on in there and explore it, and then maybe we'll move on to the... But yeah, there are things you feel and think that are not put into language yet. You kind of just have to see what's going to come out of your own head and then maybe it'll be something. It'll just be a weird concept. Maybe sometimes it's good, sometimes it's shit, but... This is my new thing right here. Iced tea, but just let the packet, like this is red raspberry, just take it a little bit in some really cold water with ice, and then just spin that bitch around, and then boom, you got some nice natural iced tea. You don't have to like steep it in hot water and then try to cool it down. It's like, no, just let the bag bleed. Let the bag bleed. Let the boy watch. And it's good. I love it. It's nice and refreshing. Red raspberry has no caffeine. Generally, herbal teas do not have caffeine in them. Is that right? I don't know if that's right. I think I just said something that was incorrect. I've never done that. Anyways, a nice little nap for myself. Oh, so, okay. I'll leave their names out of it, but it was like a nice weekend up in Vermont. In Vermont, you've got to tax the 1%, and then like a corporate tax greed. Like that? Okay, so we were in Vermont. That was a Bernie Sanders impression. He was a former, I don't know, fucking Prime Minister of Vermont or some shit. The senator from Vermont, we tax the 1%, we take a penny out of each transaction of the stock market, and then the next thing you know, so I was up there for a couple days, beautiful wedding, it was great, like, a little bit of rain, but it was alright. I, me, because we're going to talk about me. Best I ever looked. Period. You don't need to see photos. Just know that. Just know in your heart, I was the best looking person there. I was the best looking son of a... I did. I look like I just came back from the Kentucky Derby. And round that bout has taken the Triple Crown. But, I mean, obviously, my plus one, I think, looked the best. You always got to give credit to the bride and groom. Yeah, sure, why not? But I was like, yeah, right there. Zing, zang, zoom. Jealousy. I'm just talking shit. Beautiful wedding. I would, 10 out of 10 would do again. I'd go back. Not even for like, you know, da, 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 da. I'd just go back to like, there was like a gondola that went up to the, literally went up to fucking the gates of heaven. And there was like, I showed up at this place. So I just got like a Airbnb, which was a great, it was nice. It had like a, Murphy beds are kind of cool. It just like, you got this whole place and then the Murphy bed just crashes down. It takes up like the whole fucking apartment there. But it was really nice. It was super comfy. Had like a kitchenette and everything. And I was like, just give me a place close to the venue. Turns out it was on the same property as the venue. And I was like, what up, son? So it was awesome. And it was pet friendly because, you know, wherever I go, the pupper, the Chase Michael, has to be present. Very comfy for him. Really, really awesome. And but the resort next to it was really great. Like they had those fireplaces that had like propane and they light up over the glass. It was a very relaxed setting. It was just, you know, not a lot of food available, I'll be honest with you. But they had like a gondola ride that, like I said, takes you, that was really cool. I guess you can pay to go. I'll do that next time though. And then there was like a water park. They had like an actual water park inside the hotel, which was actually kind of cool. Like I would go just to do that and just hang out a day in the water park, a gondola ride. The breakfast was fantastic. I ate breakfast there twice. Like this is the first time I've really ever did everything at a resort. Like like everything. Everything I did was at the resort. At this, like, a ski resort. Like, I stayed basically right next to the property. I had Chase there on the property. We ate breakfast twice at the property. We got ready at the property. We spent time with the bridal party at the property. The venue, all that stuff. That was all on premise. And it was very, like, just a beautiful place. There was a nice golf course and everything. It was just very scenic, very pretty. Area. So if you ever get a chance to visit a place called Jay's Peak or J Peak, excuse me, I'm sorry. It's basically right up by the border of Canada. And it was just a 3.5 hour drive. Yes. But not bad. I got through it actually quite well. I did okay. Packing was no big deal. I had just basically my carry on. The only thing that was odd about it was, I mean, I brought some dress clothes and they were in their little zipper carry thingy. And then I had my new watch that I debuted that I've never worn before. I finally caved and bought myself another, watch. So now I'm at number 7. I'm at number 7. I had 6, but one needs repair. One was, it's a Tegroff Swiss. Tegroff is a vintage company that doesn't exist anymore. It needs like a full, you know, the calibration needs to be, the mechanics need to be worked on. It's a wind-up watch. The glass needs to be replaced. The labeling needs to be polished. It, like the whole watch. And it needs a nice band. Definitely needs a nice band. But a beautiful watch in general. If you hear outside voices or outside noises, it's because I have the window open because it's by the ocean. Everybody's doing their thing by the ocean today. So if you hear like maybe a motorcycle round, it's somebody just celebrating their American freedoms by cruising along basically Ocean Boulevard. And that's quite frankly, I wouldn't have it any other way. But yeah, sound travels over the marsh. So beautiful thing. And then as far as the wedding, the ceremony, it was outside, which was cool. I liked it that it was that we had. There was a good amount of window where there was no rain whatsoever. It was actually beautiful out for the whole ceremony. The ceremony was perfect. It wasn't too hot because I wasn't wearing any linen. I mean, the groom's been wearing, we're wearing some linen. But I, no. Nope, I had, you know, I had everything set up to match, and I looked good, and I felt comfy. My shoes felt great, my pants felt great, my shirt felt great. So perfect there. But then the I was feeling pretty good. Like, I was, like, stable. I'm sitting there manly. Saw some one guy with a long thread hanging off the back of his jacket. I'm like, I have to do something about that. If I don't act now, what kind of man would I be if I don't help another bro out? So I just literally grabbed by the shoulder. I go, dude, you got one hanging. And he knew exactly what I was talking about. And I grabbed that thread, popped it, and that was it. Rolled away. You're good. I said, clean. I go, clean yourself up, will you? And then I tapped him on the shoulder, and I walked away. And I was sitting, and there was this, I'm not going to say who, but I just wanted, I was staring at, like, the back of this girl's, like, shoulders, and there was a zit there, and I just wanted to get in there and just fucking make that thing, like, I had to, like, I'm just staring at it the whole fucking time. I leaned over, I go, were you paying attention to this thing? And she's like, yeah, and I was like, oh my god, yes, like, one, it was, like, right there, and I mean, great looking person, but I'm just like, you want to get in there and just handle this shit for them, But I held myself together because I'm not the one getting married here. Marriage. So I was sitting there, and things are moving along. Here comes the here's the people walking up the aisle and all that other stuff. And I was holding it together. I was a little fragile. You know, I was a little fragile because I was happy. It was a good moment. It was a great day. And then the dog came. Not Chase. Chase Michael was sound asleep in the condo, but the dog. And I could, after that, the dog was, the bride said something, and then the dog walked down the aisle. And I've known this dog since I was like 30, like 12, like we're talking like, I'd say 10 years ago, a solid 10 years ago, I've known this pup. And when the dog started walking down the aisle, I was done. I was cooked. Absolutely cooked. Like, you walk down the aisle and then just forget it. I was toast when that happened. Nothing. I was flowest heavy, period, out of my eyeballs for pretty much the entire night. Like, I just couldn't get over that, and I had to say it over and over. I'm like, dude, when the dog, and everybody's like, oh, I know, and I said to the bride, she's like, ah, and everybody's like, ah, and it's just like, like, I wanted to just grab, like, a big thing of whipped cream and just fucking spray it into my mouth, because I was just, like, crying so much. It's like, I was toast, because it was just such a good boy, such a goodest boy. So that was great part of the ceremony, just letting him walk down there. And you can hear him during the ceremony, like, kind of like, a little bit, and just off in the distance, you're like, oh, come on. It was good. It was great. So that was a good time. Venue was beautiful. I disappeared a little early, before the Adderall and the drama kicked in. So I a little bit. We let everybody. That's the thing. Like, I talked about this before about weddings. Is like, don't start no drama. Don't start no drama. Don't get into, because it's not your day. It's not your day, unless you're the bride and groom and you want to start drama. Then totally, by all means, you paid for all this stuff. It's your day. Have fun. Go start some shit. Call the police. But I don't. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, nothing is about you if you're not wearing. If you're not wearing the ring, if you're not wearing the ring, you're not exchanging vows. It ain't about you. Shut the fuck up and take a back seat. Don't start no business. That's it. Just don't. I Irish goodbye like I always do. Just basically disappeared out of nowhere. I think a couple of people saw me leave, but I told them I was being right back to check on Chase, but I just decided never to come back. So it's like, whatever. It was fine. I played my role, which is basically show up and shut up. And I'm like, all right, sounds good to me. You know? So yeah, good time there all around. Don't want to dive into too many more details, because obviously it's like, you know, it's not my thing. You know, you guys weren't invited. Well, maybe some of you were listening, were invited, but for the most part, just know that everything turned out okay. And it was a good moment. It was a good day. Like, it's nice to know that good days are still a thing. Like, good days are still a thing, past, present, and many, many good days are ahead. And I look forward to that. So, I mean, a congratulations is obvious, well-deserved, hard work, but that dog, man, oh, that just killed me. I had to go find a picture that I took of him, like 10 years ago and show it. I'm like, this is the picture, I took that photo! Ah! And I was like, yeah. So, good time. A little bit. So, but 3.5 hours there, and then I drove back 3.5 hours. Stopped by the Lakes region for a little bit to pick up some class action lawsuit checks. What up? Thanks, Facebook. And from there, made my way back to New Hampshire's beautiful seacoast. But still a little tired. A little, you know, a little bit of, the yawns. But we're at it today. Slept in a little bit, got some shit done, sat down here, got over my notes, checked my emails like a good boy should. Who's a good boy? And now we're after it to basically close up the second half of this episode with, I've been looking at this, obviously a nutritional fiend, except for yesterday. I decided, see, I know this, sergeant out of a local police department up in Maine who bought a pizza place in, Kittery. And I was like, all right, now's the perfect time. Everybody's out of the house for a minute. I'm going to go run to this place and pick up a fucking chicken finger and feta pizza. For the record, guys, don't be afraid to add a little bit more sauce on. You got the right idea. Throw a little more sauce in there. It needs a little more of that zing, zang, zoom. You know what I'm talking about? Just do that. And then, of course, a nice steak and cheese, which was stuffed with steak. Stuffed. So, perfect amount of food. Stuffed my gills. Awesome. Perfect. But yeah, a little sluggish. A little sluggish this morning. I only had a little bit of food today. I had a BCAA drink with ketamine. BCAA. I had a ketamine drink today. And all I had after that was a couple pieces of chicken. 3 pieces of chicken to be exact. And for some reason, that just kind of made me... Ugh. And I nodded off. So... I needed that. I guess I needed it. I decided that was a good idea to do. But, I mean, after this, I'm going to do some Americana things, like cook on the grill, mow the lawn. You know, that's some cool shit. But, I have been paying attention to this, like, all the stuff that's going on right now with the Make America Healthy Again movement. And all the ingredients that apparently are trying to be banned, like seed oils and red dye number 5 and all this other artificial petroleum-based BS and stuff. And it's like, okay, why is there so much resistance to this? And it's like, well, have things... Oh, thought I heard something vibrate for a second. Or have things been banned before? And what why are we trying to do this? But how many ingredients have been banned over the course of, I don't know, 100 years? Like the shit that we used to put in our gasoline or we used to put in our food or our drinks or our hair products or our skin products on our lawn. It's like, oh, man, too much regulation. It's like, hold on. Let's just take a look back and see what used to be in our food or skincare products. Just a few items, like 15. Let's just take a step back and see how far we've come. And see if it's a good idea to proceed forward. There is a website called Back in Time Today. And they have an article, which you can go ahead and you can, you know, see if you want to do some research, whether it's correct or incorrect. But ultimately, we banned a lot of things. Like trans fats is a perfect example. These trans fatty acids, which apparently were terrible for your heart, according to some studies. And they've been taken out of circulation, I think, like fucking 20 years ago. And... the stuff that's still in there, but let's just see what was gotten rid of. And they list 15 items that apparently disappeared over the last 100 years that are no longer in some of the products that we take, that we pull off the shelves day in and day out. So is this the article art thing? Perfect. All right. So let's go ahead and dive into this, and then we'll close up shop for today. So I'll read it for, let's see. Kitchen cupboards throughout history have held some truly terrifying secrets. What our ancestors once sprinkled into recipes without a second thought would make modern food safety experts faint in horror. From sweeteners that slowly poisoned Roman nobility to colorful dyes that caused cancer, these ingredients were once looking cooking staples before science revealed their dangers. We'll explore the forbidden flavors that have been permanently crossed off shopping lists around the world. So number one is lead-based sweeteners, lead acetate. The Romans called it the sugar of lead and used it liberally to sweeten wine and preserve fruits. Its delightfully sweet flavor masked a deadly secret. It was actually lead poisoning in a bottle. Wealthy Romans suffered mysterious ailments, gout, mental deterioration, and infertility. Many historians believe these symptoms contributed to the empire's downfall as generations of aristocrats unknowingly poisoned themselves with each sweetened sip. The substance accumulated in bones, organs, and brains, causing irreversible damage. Modern science has since confirmed what the Romans learned the hard way. No dessert is worth brain damage. Well, that's a decent synopsis toward the end. It's more of an opinion-based. But yeah, you should not be rubbing or soaking or digesting lead. Not necessary. Or breathing. Number two, arsenic. Victorian socialites knowingly consumed, look at that dress, holy shit, consumed arsenic to achieve the fashionable pale complexion of the era. Beyond beauty treatments, this deadly compound found its way into candies, tonics, and food colorings, creating vibrant green hues that captivated consumers. Candy shops sold emerald green treats containing copper arsenite, while arsenic-lead-laced medicines promised to cure everything from asthma to cancer. The irony, many patients deteriorated rapidly after treatment. Symptoms began subtly, headaches, confusion, stomach pain, oh my tummy, before progressing to convulsions and death. By the early 1900s, regulations finally acknowledged what was becoming painfully obvious. Arsenic belongs in crime novels, not kitchens. Okay. All right, so they got these cheeky one-liners at the end, but we'll go ahead and move along with it. Sometimes they hit. Often they don't. So number three, borax, sodium borate, borax powder. Before refrigeration became widespread, butchers faced a constant battle against spoilage. Their secret weapon, borax powder, liberally dusted over meat to keep it looking fresh and pink past its prime. Manufacturers even marketed borax-containing preservatives under innocent names like Preservaline, promising housewives their Sunday roast would stay appealing all week. The white crystalline substance seemed miraculous until people began experiencing mysterious kidney ailments and digestive problems. Scientists eventually linked these health issues to borax consumption. Today, this compound is relegated to cleaning products, borax powder, and pest control where it belongs, far away from dinner plates and certainly not sprinkled on your steak. All right. Number four, calomel, mercurous chloride. Look at that. Tithinina powders, revised formulae. Dr. Moffat's Tithina. None genuine out of the signature. Package contains 12 powders. Each powder, 1/18. Okay. So, parents in the 1800s routinely soothed their teething babies with calomel, if I'm saying that right, calomel powders, unaware they were essentially rubbing mercury compounds on their children's gums. This dangerous substance wasn't just for infants. It found its way into bread recipes and was prescribed as a treatment for everything from consumption, constipation, to syphilis. Victims developed tremors, excessive drooling, and loose teeth before suffering neurological collapse. The infamous Mad Hatter stereotype emerged from hat makers who developed mental illness after chronic exposure to mercury compounds in their craft. Despite causing obvious harm, calomel remained in medical use until the early 20th century. Wow. Modern regulations now recognize mercury compounds as potent neurotoxins with no place in our food or medicine. Yeah, mercury poisoning is terrible for you. Number five, sassafras oil or safrole. External use only. Nothing says nostalgic Americana quite like root beer's distinctive flavor. Originally derived from sassafras root bark, the compound responsible, safrole, gave the beverage its signature taste that generations grew up loving. Children slurp down root beer. I did like the old taste of root beer. Slurp down root beer floats while soda fountains serve sassafras-infused drinks as health tonics. Native Americans had used sassafras medicinally for centuries, furthering the belief in its beneficial properties. Laboratory studies in the 1960s revealed safrole's dark secret. It caused liver cancer in laboratory animals. The FDA promptly banned sassafras oil in foods, forcing manufacturers to reformulate with artificial flavors. Modern root beer contains no actual sassafras, just a chemically engineered reminder of a once beloved but dangerous flavor. Wow, sassafras. That's wild. Number 6, potassium bromate. Ooh, that looks safe. Potassium bromate bromide. 100 normal. Biofarm. Love that bottle right there. Bakers once considered potassium bromate essential for creating perfectly risen loaves with minimal effort. This white powder strengthened dough, improved texture, and created that picture-perfect bread dome that customers loved. Commercial bakeries added it to nearly everything, from sandwich bread to pizza dough, appreciating how it reduced mixing time and increased production efficiency. Japan was first to raise alarm bells in the 1970s when research linked the compound to cancers in laboratory animals. Most developed nations have since banned this ingredient, yet remarkably, it remained legal in the United States. It remains legal in the United States. I'll look again. This is potassium bromate or bromide. It remains legal in the United States. American consumers must check labels carefully for potassium bromate or bromated flour, a hidden hazard that most of the world already removed from its bakery shelves. All right, hold on. Let's look this up. What products contain potassium? I'm a terrible writer. Sorry. Potassium bromate. It's a food additive primarily. Okay. Yep. Some specific examples Some specific examples of products that may contain potassium bromate include packaged baked goods like Gomez flour tortillas, Hy-Vee blueberry crisp, Hanover baked sourdough soft pretzels. Additionally, it's sometimes used in flours and can be present in fast food buns. In California, products containing this must wear a warning label. Holy shit. So, common products. Like pretzels and shit and flour tortillas. Alright, so that's like a big deal. Like that needs to be... Okay. So, alright, so far we've found 6 things that can fucking kill you. And there's 15 on this list. Rhododendron honey or mad honey is number 7. Ancient warriors deliberately consume this crimson-hued honey before battle, seeking its mind-altering effects. Harvested from bees that pollinate toxic rhododendron flowers, this rare honey contains granotoxins that produce hallucinations, dizziness, and altered consciousness. Historical accounts describe how armies were defeated after consuming contaminated honey left deliberately in their path. The Roman army fell victim to this strategy in 67 BCE when Turkish forces left honeycomb traps that incapacitated soldiers, making them easy targets. Though banned in most regulated food markets, mad honey remains available through black markets as folk medicine and recreational substance. Modern cases of poisoning still occur regularly in Turkey and Nepal, where it's produced in remote mountainous regions beyond government oversight. So, it doesn't seem like it kills you, but it definitely makes you fucking see dolphins. when you're in the desert. Anyways, so that one does... Okay, so maybe this is the first one that doesn't kill you. Maybe drives you a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Number 8, Absinthe, the original formulas. Absinthe tastes like shit anyways. Okay. That's pretty cool, though. That the emerald liquor that fueled Parisian bohemian culture contained more than just alcohol. Original absinthe recipes include thuon, T-H-U-J-O-N-E, a compound in wormwood that supposedly drove artists like Van Gogh towards madness and self-destruction. Nicknamed the Green Fairy, this potent spirit became the scapegoat for social problems across Europe. Tales of hallucination, violent behavior, and moral degradation, that's understandable, led to bans in most countries by the early 1900s. Modern science suggests thions, effects were exaggerated, with absinthe's extremely high alcohol content, up to 74%, likely responsible for most problems. Today's legal versions contain regulated thuon levels, allowing contemporary drinkers to experience this historical spirit without the supposed madness that haunted their artistic predecessors. So you can still buy this stuff. That's the cool thing. You can still buy. I guess it's just, it's really like, you know, a little more regulated and stuff now, which is fine. I mean, there's some alcohols that can, there's alcohols, bathtub gins that can kill you or make you blind and stuff. Number 9, copper cooking utensils, unlined. Copper cooking utensils? Gleaming copper pots hanging in medieval kitchens weren't just decorative. They were potentially deadly. Unlined copper cookware reacted with acidic foods like tomatoes or vinegar, leaching toxic compounds directly into their meals. Yeah, but I mean, fucking Teflon is terrible for you too, and yet there are people out there that use nonstick pans like it's going out of style. Royal families often suffered mysterious illnesses attributed to their copper-heavy kitchens. Symptoms included stomach cramps, vomiting, jaundice, the hallmarks of copper toxicity. Even more concerning, regular exposure could cause liver and kidney damage over time. Modern copper cookware must be lined with non-reactive metals like tin or stainless steel. So when you get copper core, so copper core apparently does heat right, but I guess it's got to be lined with some stainless steel shit on it. But you can still get copper core-based cooking pans. I love cooking with just straight stainless steel. No Teflon or any of that non-stick bullshit. Just fucking straight, you know, aluminum pans or metal pans. Just that's it. Because then you can just take like a scrub brush, like one of the metal things, and just scrub the shit out of it, and it's perfect. It's good to go again for another day. That's what I like personally. Modern copper cookware must be lined with non-reactive metals like tin or stainless steel. This protective barrier maintains copper's excellent heat conductivity while preventing toxic metal from contaminating food. The beautiful but dangerous unlined versions are now banned from commercial kitchens worldwide. Number 10, alum or aluminum sulfate. Look at that big bag. What do you do with that? I wonder what you do with that shit. Plenty of water, blah, blah, blah. What do you do with that? Okay, we'll find out. We'll read about it, stupid. Pickle enthusiasts once prized the perfect crunch that only alum could provide. This astringent compound was a secret behind those satisfying crisp vegetables in grandmother's pickle jars and commercial products alike. Beyond pickles, bakers used alum to whiten bread, while candy makers employed it to create crystal clear confections. Food processors appreciated how it prevented discoloration in fruits and vegetables, extending their shelf appeal. Research eventually linked aluminum compounds to neurological disorders, including possible connections to Alzheimer's disease. Modern food regulations have largely eliminated alum from the food supply, replacing it with safer alternatives like calcium chloride. Those perfectly crisp pickles now come without the neurotoxic side effects. Number 11, formaldehyde. Barley food. No, Jesus. Am I losing my vision? Did I take eat some? Okay. Early early food manufacturers discovered that a dash of formaldehyde could keep milk fresh for weeks, even without refrigeration. This practice became widespread in the early 1900s, with unscrupulous dairy companies adding this embalming fluid to mask the smell and appearance of spoiled products. Gross! The same chemical used to preserve dead bodies, from secretly preserving breakfast cereals, meat products, and even baby formula. Children consuming formaldehyde laced milk suffered stomach pain, diarrhea, sometimes death, a horrifying price for corporate profit. Public outcry following exposés like Upton Sinclair's The Jungle eventually led to the Pure Food and Drug Act of 1906. This landmark legislation finally banned formaldehyde in foods, though the chemical continues to contaminate some products illegally in developing countries. Number 12, red dye number 2, also known as amaranth. The vibrant red color is in everything from candy to cocktail cherries, once came from red dye number 2, also known as amaranth. Good band, by the way. Swedish. This synthetic color made foods visually appealing, particularly children's treats that benefited from eye-catching crimson hues. M&M's manufacturer famously removed red candies from their mix in 1976, despite not using this particular dye, simply to avoid consumer confusion and panic. The FDA banned red dye number 2 after studies linked it to cancer in laboratory animals, forcing manufacturers to reformulate thousands of products. Many countries still permit this coloration in limited quantities, creating international trade complications. American tourists in Europe might unknowingly consume the very dye banned in their home country, hidden in imported sweets and beverages. We still have red dye number 5. That's currently on the possible chopping block for that to go away, red dye number 5. That apparently has some side effects. It's really, really dangerous. I forget what it really links to, but I think it has something to do with like brain damage and stuff. Number 13, Orpiment, arsenic sulfide. What is that, fried chicken? Ooh, that looks good. I don't think that's fried chicken, though. That might actually just be arsenic. The original recipe. Ancient confectioners created dazzling yellow sweets using orpiment, a naturally occurring mineral containing arsenic sulfide. Its golden hue made it popular in Middle Eastern and Asian cuisine for coloring candies and ceremonial foods for special occasions. The distinctive yellow pigment appeared in everything from festival treats to elaborate royal banquets. Merchants valued it for its vibrant color that didn't fade with time or heat, unlike plant-based alternatives. Symptoms of poisoning included severe stomach pain, vomiting, and eventually death if consumed in sufficient quantities. Modern food safety regulations have eliminated this toxic colorant, replacing it with turmeric, which I actually take as a supplement, saffron, or synthetic alternatives to provide the same visual appeal without the deadly side effects. They use like yellow dye 12 or some shit. Number 14, whale meat. I've never had whale meat, by the way. And that, I think, is still legal in some country. I think Japan and China still fish for it. It's highly controversial, though. That looks like a tasty piece of beef, though. Ocean beef. Coastal communities worldwide once relied on whale meat as a dietary staple. In post-World War II Japan, school lunches regularly featured whale as an affordable protein source, while Nordic countries incorporated it into traditional dishes for centuries. Beyond nutrition, whales provided oil for lamps, bones for corsets, and ambergris for perfumes. Ah, okay. The multifaceted usefulness of this marine mammals nearly led to their extinction through relentless hunting. Modern bans stem from both conservative conservation concerns and health risks. Whale blubber accumulates dangerous levels of mercury and PCBs from ocean pollution, making consumption particularly hazardous for children and pregnant women. Today, only a few countries permit limited whale hunting under strict quotas. ending what was once common ingredient in coastal cuisine worldwide. There is definitely still whale hunting. Absolutely. Number 15, finally, shark fins. For centuries, Chinese emperors served shark fin soup as the ultimate status symbol, a tradition that continued into modern luxury dining. The cartilaginous fins themselves have virtually no flavor, serving merely as a textural element in a soup whose taste comes primarily from chicken broth and other ingredients. Harvesting methods involve cutting fins from live sharks, then dumping the mutilated animals back into the ocean to die slowly. A practice known as finning, this cruel efficiency allows fishing boats to collect only the valuable fins rather than the whole sharks. That's a terrible thing to do. Growing awareness of both the ecological impact and the inhumane harvesting has prompted bans in many countries. Shark populations have declined by over 70% in some regions, threatening marine ecosystem collapse with what amounts to little more than status signaling garnish. If it serves no purpose, there's no point to fucking do it. Really isn't. There's no actual purpose to it. Hunting has a purpose. I understand fishing has a purpose. There's scientific stuff. But this is just, you know, this is just showing off your balls. There's no reason to this. None whatsoever. The question is, like, we banned these 15... A lot of these things have been banned over the course of, like, 150 years. So the question is, what are we going to get rid of next? What's going to be on the chopping block? I mean, there's red dye number 5. There's other chemicals. There's other plastic products, petroleum-based things that are in our products that need to go away. I mean, there's just, like, high fructose corn syrup. Is that really necessary? It's like, why do I go and get a bottle of Coca-Cola that was produced in the United States and it's got super processed corn syrup sugars when, of course, I can go get one from Mexico, which is actually tastier, and it's actually made out of just, like, regular, like, sugar, like cane sugar? What's the cost difference? Honestly. But then again, I'm not really drinking that much sugar anyways. I don't take in that much sugar. How crisp does my dough need to be? You can make bread out of 2 to 3 ingredients. I mean, I understand, like, when they produce bread, a lot of breads, super cheap breads, you don't realize how much they hurt your stomach. But in order to get more yield, they will stuff gluten. This wheat has so much gluten in it to the point of pure toxicity, just so they can get a better yield. Whereas in, like, European countries, the bread that you get there, it's does it have gluten in it? Yeah, but it's, like, to the point where it doesn't hurt you at all. It doesn't hurt you at all. But when you put, like, this, like, a cheap grocery store bagel in your stomach, it's almost like it grows, like, 6 times the size in there. Like, it's the fucking blob from that 80s movie. It's like, do you really need to eat that shit? How much more stuff can we actually ban? And we're not banning it because it's like, some people say you shouldn't eat red meat or something like that. It's like, this stuff it's artificial. It's artificial. When are we going to get rid of fluoride in the drinking water? We already offer alternatives as far as, like, mouthwashes that don't have alcohol or fluoride in it, or toothpaste that has no fluoride in it. When can we start to eliminate those things from, it can be a choice. You want fluoride? You want fluoride toothpaste? Go buy it. Go ahead and buy it. But we don't, it's obvious that we don't need this stuff. And why is there so much, the fact that there's so much pushback is because somebody's making money off of it. You know, if there was a drug company's lobbyist group, they pushed hard enough, there'd be fucking Percocet in the drinking water. No pain. No pain at all. Not surprising. If there's a chance to make money and dump their shit into your food supply, or even into your underarm deodorant, they're going to do it. They're absolutely going to do it. So yes, we absolutely should be pushing to see, like, does it serve any nutritional purpose? Does it have to be in everything we eat, drink, digest, and utilize on a daily basis? And can we get rid of it? Are we shooting it across the sky in order to block the sun out like they're doing over in Great Britain? Does it need to be in our drinking water just to make it cleaner? I can brush my teeth 3 times a day, bro. I do it all my fucking self, okay? I don't need a dentist to do that for me, to tell me to do that. I don't need fluoride in my drinking water. I don't need red dyes in my maraschino cherries. That stuff can go away. It can go away. All right. If I want my food to look cooler on Instagram, I'll just increase the saturation and warmth in the post-production filters. I don't need the red dye in there for me. I can make it myself if I wanted to show it off to the world. Anyways, what do we have? 45 minutes. Good. That's good enough for a beautiful Sunday. I got more stuff to do. I got more editing to do. I appreciate you guys. I'm so happy I was able to be a part of a wedding this weekend. I was so happy to look good and be with somebody who looked even better, and I'm glad to be rocking some fucking pretty pimp linen right now. I'm not gonna admit, not gonna lie. Linen's nice. It's comfy. My balls are comfy. Anyways, we're done. You can find me on Instagram at positive_sarcasm. If you have questions about what I wore or what kind of watch I got, or if you have questions about, you know, some fashion stuff in general, hit me up. I kind of know what I'm doing. I get a little edgy from time to time. But if you have any questions or comments or concerns, you can email me through Instagram at positive_sarcasm. You can email me directly, positive_sarcasm@outlook.com. But just go to my site. Just go to the contact section. I don't keep your data for really anything. I don't need it. I don't. What am I going to do with it? I'm going to sell it to my neighbor? Fuck out of here. YouTube and Rumble is where you can find the video, but anywhere where podcasts are available audio-wise, you guys should know where to find me. All right. My podcast is so easy the boomers can find it. So in the meantime, thank you guys for listening, watching, and subscribing. I'm ready to get back at it, and I'm still loving the new studio. I've been in here long enough to know, like, all right, there's little adjustments I'm making here and there to some of the wires and where I put things, and the adjusting to some of the lighting. The lighting can get a little better. Maybe in the coming weeks I'll figure it out. I just acquired another new computer. This is an actual gaming computer, Ryzen 5 with a 1660 graphics card, which I don't know what the fuck I'm gonna do with that, but I have it now, so I'm gonna, you know, probably get it pumped and ready to go for its next assignment. But yeah, looking forward to the next step, and looking forward to doing another episode here and doing some more editing. And if you guys have any questions, concerns, or comments, you know where to find me. In the meantime, thank you for listening, watching, and subscribing, and I'll catch you all in the next podcast, recorded here from the Spare Parts Studio alongside New Hampshire's beautiful seacoast, for entertainment purposes only, even though I'm kind of right about a lot of things. But this has been a positive sarcasm presentation.